We have seen several things thus far about man's condition before God. We have seen, for example, that man has a soul. We have been made in God's very own image. We are spiritual beings. At the moment of conception, God creates a soul within us, a soul that's precious and valuable, a soul that will live on after death in a conscious state in heaven eternally or in hell eternally. We have seen that man can be lost because of sin. And once man sins against God, he is lost in a tragic condition. A state that's so miserable and so wretched, needing salvation through our Lord Jesus the Christ. And if we meet God's conditions, if we come to God by faith, obeying His gospel, we can be saved from sin. But as you and I think about this lesson today, as we close out our thoughts in this series of three lessons, there is one more thing we must understand about our condition before God. And that is that God wants all men to be saved. God wants me to be saved. God wants you to be saved. He wants all of your friends, all of your family, all of your loved ones, all of your neighbors, all of your co-workers to be saved. He wants everyone to be saved. And there is a great passage which sets forth this desire, and it's in 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 to 8, our text of consideration this evening. Notice what the Apostle Paul writes in that passage by inspiration of God. I exhort, therefore, first of all, that prayers, supplications, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life with all godliness and honesty. For this is good in the sight of God, our Savior, who would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all in due time. Wherefore, I am ordained an apostle, a preacher, and a teacher of Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men everywhere pray, lifting up holy hands without doubting and without wrath. In this passage, Paul's telling us about the purpose of prayer in the local church. And Paul says several things about prayer in this passage. For example, Paul tells us the importance of prayer. In verse 1, Paul writes, first of all in this section. Prayer is indeed important and worthy of our consideration. It's something that we should think about, as Paul says, first of all. He tells us the nature of prayer, number 2. It involves prayers, supplications, intercessions, and even giving of thanks. There's a wide variety of things involved in the nature of prayer. He tells us the aim of our prayer, to lead a quiet and peaceable life in godliness, in honesty. He tells us the objects of our prayer, that we are to pray not just for some people, but for all people. Then in verse 8, he tells us the conditions of prayer. We're to pray holy prayers from holy lives. We're to pray prayers that come without anger, without wrath, and without doubting, and full faith in God. All of these things about prayer. And he tells us, as we mentioned, to pray for all men. Why would he say that? Why, as he writes about prayer, its nature, its aim, its purpose, its conditions, why mention that we should pray for all men? He tells us two reasons in this passage. One, he says, is because this is good. Prayer is a good thing. It is inherently good to pray and to pray for all people everywhere. But there's a second huge point in this text. We're to pray for all men, as Paul says, because God wants all men to be saved. And if God wants all men to be saved, then surely we should pray for all men. And surely we should work towards trying to reach those who are lost in sin and not just pray for them, but to teach them. Evangelistic prayers, we may say, praying for them, but then going forth and teaching them. Why? Because God would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. As we break down this passage, there are four basic points I wish to make this afternoon as we think about that tremendous thought of God wanting all men to be saved. Notice, number one, in this passage, there is an expression. It's in verse 4. The expression is that God would have all men to be saved. That expression showing us, expressing to us, God's longing, God's love, and God's desire for all to be saved. Isn't it amazing that God wants all to be saved? Not just those who are rich, but also those who are poor. Not just those who are educated, but those who have no education at all. Not just those who have great talent, but those who find themselves with no ability in life, in their opinion. Not just those who are white, but those who are black, those who are red, those who are yellow, all people everywhere. Not just those in America, but those all over this world. God wants all people to be saved. And the reason why is because we serve a God who is a God of love. It's not just that God loves, though God does love, but God is love. That's a part of who God is. His very nature to love mankind. And God loves all people. As you open the Word of God, we see from beginning to end, literally, this expression. God wants all to be saved, just in different words and different phrases and different passages over and over and over again. We see this expression in the pages of promise. In Genesis 12, 1-3, God called Abraham and made some promises to Abraham, you recall. And those promises involved our Lord Jesus Christ, the very seed of Abraham, Galatians 3. But as God called out Abraham, God told him that through him, through his seed, that being Christ, he would bless not just some people, but his blessing would be for all nations. For those who are Jews, for those who are Gentiles, the offer of salvation extended to all people. Why? Because God wants all to be saved. Doesn't have this select group he wants to be saved, and the rest, they're out. God wants all to be saved. We keep reading in our Bible, and we come to Isaiah 53, verse number 6. In the pages of prophecy, we see this expression, God wants all to be saved. Isaiah writes, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to our own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, on Christ, the iniquities of us all. Christ died for all. All have gone astray. All have sinned. All need salvation. And Isaiah sees this suffering servant. He sees Christ suffering and bleeding and dying for the sins of all people. Why? Because God wants all to be saved. Because God loves all people deeply. And our Lord's own words. In John chapter 3, verse 16, our Lord said, "For God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever who believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God wants all to be saved. On the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, that first great gospel sermon as an accomplished fact being preached. And what did Peter say? The promises to you and to your children and to all who are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call, Acts 2, 38, 39. Why? Because God wants all men to be saved. Christ died for all, the offers to all. God invites all. In Acts 10, 34 and 35, Cornelius, who was a Gentile, was told that God accepts those in every nation, any nation, who fear Him and work righteousness. There is a great expression in this passage. That expression shows to us God's love and God's desire for all people. There is not a single soul on this earth that God does not want to be saved eternally with Him in heaven. Notice then, number two, there is a provision in our passage. The expression is that God would have all men to be saved. And there is a provision in verse number 6. That provision is not an it, but a He. The man, Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom, note these words, for all. The word all is a predominant thought in this passage. Pray for all men. God wants all men to be saved. And Christ, the provision of God, died as a ransom for all men. God's love is not inactive. God's desire to save all men is not inactive or passive. God has done something. He has taken a step to demonstrate His love for mankind and offer mankind a way out of sin. And that provision is His Son, Jesus the Christ. Verse 6 tells us that Christ died as a ransom for all. The word ransom denotes a price that is paid to free a slave. What is sin? Sin is a slave master. And all men who have sinned against God find themselves in a state of slavery. In John chapter 8, our Lord said, those who commit sin, verse 34, they're the servant of sin. They're enslaved to sin. And in verse 32, He says, the truth can set us free. Christ died, why? Because men were enslaved to sin. We were in bondage. We weren't free men. Under that cruel, harsh taskmaster every step of the way with no hope or ability to escape from it. But we have this provision, this ransom, this price that's been paid to buy us back from sin and redeem us to God. So we cannot be Satan's and sins, but belong to God and live for God accordingly to His will. The Word of God tells us we have been bought with a price. And we should therefore glorify God in our bodies. That price was the precious blood of Christ. Acts 20 verse 28. Him dying as a ransom for all men. In Mark 10 verse 45 the Bible says, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And to give His life a ransom for many. There is an expression, God wants all to be saved, but there is a provision. God has done something to benefit all people, to buy back mankind from sin, the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ. But there is, number three in this passage, a condition. The expression is, God wants all to be saved, verse 4. The provision is Christ as a ransom for all people. But the condition is man must come, verse 4, to a knowledge of the truth. God wants all to be saved because God loves all people. And Christ has died for all people. But that does not mean all people will be saved. Many believe that. They've been led astray by it to believe that. Doesn't matter what you believe, what you do, what you practice. Heaven can be your home. We're all on different roads, but our destination's the same. We're all heading for the same place, and that's heaven. My friends, the Word of God does not teach that. God loves all men, yes. God wants all to be saved. Yes, God could save all people through Christ, that great provision, but that is conditioned by God's desire for a genuine response. God's not to save all people, period. Some don't want to be saved, do they? God wants a genuine response from mankind. His love, His desire to save is conditioned by a desire for a genuine response from mankind. And that response comes through a knowledge of the truth. In verse 4, when Paul says that, come to the knowledge of the truth. The word knowledge there denotes not just a partial knowledge, but a full, complete, overflowing knowledge and application of the truth. Again, John 8:32, man's enslaved to sin. But our Lord says, the truth shall set you free. We must learn that truth. We must be taught that truth. We must then believe the truth. And we must obey the truth. The truth must be obeyed. And to be saved, we must come to that full, complete, obedient knowledge an application of the truth. We call that obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hearing the gospel, believing it, and rendering obedience to it. You know, we hear that phrase, obey the gospel. And I think sometimes we as Christians take that for granted because we know that's right. We've been taught that, we've heard that, and rightfully so. But you say to someone, you must obey the gospel. You must obey the truth to be saved. And that's as foreign as Chinese to some people. They've heard the sinner's prayer, just say this prayer and you'll be saved. They've heard, just believe and you'll be saved. They've heard a lot of things, but to hear you must obey the gospel, they've not heard that. But the Word of God says that so often, doesn't it? In Romans 10, verse 1, Paul says, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I want them to be saved, Paul says. How much so, Paul? In chapter 9, he says, he'd be accursed for them. He would lose. He would forfeit his own salvation if they could be saved. But that's not possible. Why? Because there are conditions they must meet. And in Romans 10, verse 16, notice what Paul says. I want them to be saved, verse number 1. I'm praying for you. I want you to be saved like God does. But, verse 16, they have not all obeyed the gospel. They've not met the conditions to be saved. They've not believed, not obeyed, and they can't be saved in that condition. Dear friends, God wants men to be saved. But God will save no one outside of the gospel plan of salvation. We must lovingly and boldly go forth, pointing our fellow man towards a full, complete, obedient knowledge of the truth. Then there is number 4 in our passage, a mission. An expression, God wants all to be saved. A provision, Christ died, ransom for all. A condition, knowledge of the truth. And in verse 7, there is a mission. Notice what the Apostle Paul says about himself in this passage. Wherefore, in light of what he has just said, that God wants all to be saved, and Christ has died for all, but none can be saved except through the truth of God. Wherefore, I am ordained. Notice these three words, an apostle, a preacher, and a teacher of the Gentiles. Paul says, I've got a mission. Man's lost, but God wants man to be saved. And Christ died so men can be saved. But they must know the truth to be saved. And Paul says, that's why I have been appointed and ordained by God to carry out this task of teaching men the gospel and directing men towards knowledge and application of the truth. I am an apostle, Paul says. That means he is one who has been sent with a special mission. He has been sent by God to speak on God's behalf with the authority of an inspired ambassador, an apostle of Jesus Christ. One sent with a special authoritative mission from Christ. He is also a preacher, he says in verse 7. That means a herald of the truth. One who proclaims and heralds a message, a good message. And that's the gospel of Christ, Romans 1:16. And Paul says, number 3, I am a teacher, one who opens up and expounds the Word of God. In Acts 17, Paul did that. As his habit was, he went in the synagogues and opened up the Scriptures, and the Bible says he began to reason and teach that Christ is the Son of God. And you know, I think about that mission, we have a mission, don't we? And our mission really is not that different. We have been sent, have we not? Not as apostles, not in the sense that Paul was, but we have been sent by Christ, have we not? With a mission to go and teach and baptize. Matthew 20:18-20. We should be those who herald and proclaim a good message. The early church did. In Acts 8, verse 4, the Bible says they went. They went everywhere. They went everywhere preaching, teaching the Word. Acts 8, verse 4. They were heralding, proclaiming the gospel. In Acts 5:42, they ceased not to preach and teach Jesus. And we should be those who can teach our fellow man. Open up the Scriptures and expound to them and for them the Word of God. Explain God's will to them. Help them learn God's will to have that complete knowledge of truth and obey it. Dear friends, that's our mission. That is the Great Commission. As we have said over and over again this day, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. Mark 16, verse 16. There's an expression. God wants all to be saved. There is a provision. Christ left the glory of heaven to come to earth and die as a ransom to buy back slaves for all men. There is a condition. To be saved, man must come to the full, complete, obedient knowledge of the truth. And there is a mission for us who are God's children to carry the truth to those who are still enslaved to sin and bring them back to the fold of God. Dear friends, we have a great task before us. There's great challenges before us. But there is a great God in heaven who is on our side. A great God in heaven who is for us, who is not against us. A God who wants us to succeed. A God who will bless us and be with us every step of the way. But will we go? Will we teach? Will we bring those who are lost to our Lord Jesus Christ? Just one soul. May God help us to reach even just one soul. But even beyond that, to reach many souls and help to build up the kingdom and save lost souls in the year 2018. Why is that? Because man has a soul. Because man is lost. But God wants all men to be saved. What does your life reveal this moment in time? How can we be successful in bringing lost to Christ if we're not in a right relationship with God? In Psalm 51, David said, regarding his own life and his own sin, to restore to him the joy of salvation. Then know what he says. Then shall I teach sinners thy ways. How can we teach those who are lost if we ourselves don't have the joy of salvation first? We must have that joy of salvation by obeying Christ. And if we have that, that joy should motivate us to teach those who are lost around us Do you have that joy? If not, why not? Obey Christ. Believe in Christ. Repent of your sins this day. Confess your faith in Him. And be baptized to meet that precious blood of Christ, that redeeming ransom price, and have your sins washed away. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:16. Maybe you've done that, but you realize you need prayers this day. You need encouragement. You need strength to carry on, to go forth with your mission to reach the lost. Maybe you realize right now you're in need of forgiveness. You began to wander away in a public way. Make it right in that way. In a private way, make it right in that way. But know that God's faithful and God's just. And He will forgive if you repent and confess. 1 John 1:9. And again, we can pray with you and for you. James 5:16. And we can leave this place with our soul right with God on a mission to help others get their soul right with God as well. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing.